Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Witness Lee. Witness Lee was captured by the Lord Jesus as a young man of 19 in his native China. He consecrated his life to preach the gospel, and later labored side by side with Watchman Nee for parts of 3 decades, before eventually bringing this ministry to the West in 1962. He spent the next 35 years speaking to Christians in North America and all over the world before going to be with the Lord in 1997. The life study of the Bible is his most significant contribution to the heritage of biblical exposition, and we're delighted to be able to bring you short portions of his spoken ministry today. If you have questions or comments, or would like to find other Christians in your area enjoying this same ministry, just email us, radio@lsm.org. Again, that's radio@lsm.org. Here's today's program. The Old Testament book of Daniel, of course, is one of the great storybooks in the Bible. Children and adults alike love these stories and the inspiration that countless believers have derived from them over the years. But much more than just wonderful, inspiring stories, these chapters convey tremendous insights into God's move on this earth in His economy. This deeper view not only inspires us, but it can compel us to join with God, not just to live a proper Christian life, but to actually become engaged with Him for the accomplishment of His eternal purpose. Ed Marks has joined us today as we look at one of these stories in Daniel chapter 6 and hopefully see the story behind the story. Ed, welcome back to Life Study.
Well, Chris, it's good to be back. And like you said, we will see in this broadcast the story behind this story in Daniel 6 concerning how we can be the overcomers in this age of degradation to cooperate with God to carry out His heart's desire.
Ed Witness Lee referred to this portion in Daniel many times during his ministry, and not just because he loved it as a good Bible story, though certainly it is that. He liked it because it illustrates a principle of how God carries out His move on earth only through the prayers of men. He often said, Ed, that our prayers for God's interest are like tracks for a train to run on. That's a wonderful analogy, isn't it?
It is, Chris, and we see this through the whole Bible and even throughout the history of the church, that if man doesn't pray, God has no way to move. Our prayers are the tracks for God as the train to run on in this earth to carry out His move.
Well, Ed, maybe as a background for the message today, for those who may not be familiar with this story, Daniel 6, you could help us a little bit and give us a bit of the background.
Well, in Daniel 6, Chris, what you have is this king, Darius the Mede. And what we see is that Daniel was actually the chief governor set up by Darius. Daniel 6 actually tells us that Darius considered setting Daniel over the whole kingdom. Well, these governors that were under Daniel, they were very jealous of him. So they tried to devise a way. They had a conspiracy to do away with him. So they came to the king. They realized the only way we can catch Daniel and do away with him, it has to be something related to the God whom he worships. So what they did is they tricked the king into signing an edict that no one could make a petition of any man or God for 30 days except the king. They did this because they knew that Daniel's habit was to pray to God daily, even 3 times a day. And of course, they caught Daniel in prayer. They reported this to the king. And as a result, the penalty for this was being thrown into the lion's den. So this gives you the whole background of the story in Daniel 6.
Well, Ed, typically this story is taught to children as an inspiration in how God's enemy would like to do away with such a faithful servant. And there is an element of that, but I think what's behind the scenes today will really be enlightening to all of our listeners, regardless of how familiar they may be with this story in Daniel 6. Let's join Witness Lee with the first portion today.
We have to see the center in this chapter is man's prayer to carry out God's economy. What this chapter shows is just God was desirous to carry out his economy, but there is a need of at least one man on this earth to pray about it. God's desire to move is just like a kind of a locomotive, a train. For the train to take its way, there is a need of the railway. Man's prayer is just to pave a way for God's move to go on. The enemy's strategy is just to frustrate such men to pray for the move of God. You have to realize all those Chaldean high officials became jealous of him. So they conspired, saying, okay, we have only one way to destroy this man, Daniel. That is, we ask the king to sign a kind of decree. Then, in brief, Daniel was made sign that decree. After he signed, Daniel got to know. Daniel realized that was the enemy's doing. Not just to destroy me, Daniel, but to stop the carrying out of God's economy on this earth. He went back to his dwelling place, and he opened up the windows as he used to do. What window? The very window which is toward Jerusalem. And he used to pray 3 times a day toward Jerusalem. No doubt, this prayer you can see in chapter 9. And that should be the time that Daniel was praying for the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah concerning the return of the captive. So you could see this chapter concerns God's carrying out of his economy on this earth through one of his faithful channel of prayer. The devil's intention is to stop that channel God was using for the carrying out of his economy.
Well, Ed, the obvious way to understand this story is that Satan, God's enemy, was out to destroy Daniel because of his faithfulness to God. And God, in response to that faithfulness, spared Daniel. But once again, this ministry gives us a glimpse into what's happening behind the obvious in the divine revelation. How do we see God's interests on earth, Ed, really are the focus and not just the faithful one, Daniel, in this section?
Well, Chris, I'd like to say this first. You know, this is a marvelous portion because, like I said before, these chief ministers, these governors that were under Daniel, they wanted to do away with him because of their jealousy, their ambition. And so they tricked the king into signing an edict that no man could pray or make petition of any god or man except the king. And if this man did, he would be thrown into the lion's den. Now, what did Daniel do when he knew that this writing, this edict was signed? I think most of us, we would say, well, I'll just take a vacation from praying for 30 days. But Daniel prayed at the risk of his life. Even the verse says that it says, when he came to know that the writing had been signed, he knew that this writing said, if you pray to God, you will be put to death. When Daniel knew this, it says he went to his house, and in his upper room he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and 3 times daily he knelt on his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God because he had always done so previously. So this is marvelous, Chris. Firstly, we see a man who is praying with his windows open toward Jerusalem. And notice this verse said he did this previously. This was his habit. He had a prayer life. He had a habit of praying every day, even 3 times a day. His windows were open toward God's goal, which is Jerusalem in the New Testament. This is the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is the built-up church as the body of Christ. Consummately, that built-up body of Christ is the New Jerusalem. Well, Chris, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to stop our prayer. It's not just Daniel as a person, but he's a channel of prayer for God to carry out his move. Even we saw, Chris, that in Daniel 9 shows us what Daniel was praying for. He was praying that God's people would come back from their captivity in Babylon and in Persia and come back to Jerusalem, which is where the temple is built, which signifies the body of Christ and ultimately the New Jerusalem for the carrying out of God's purpose. Chris, I would just like to exhort us, you know, you and I need to be exhorted, you, we all do, is we need to give ourselves to have every day a time to pray. The enemy will do anything to kill your personal time of prayer to God, not just for your spiritual nourishment, but also to carry out God's interests. And I would encourage us to make a consecration right now. Lord, I like to give myself to have a time to pray every day, a prayer time. And even we should pray, Lord, make me a man of prayer with a life of prayer. It's prayer that carries out God's interests.
So God's move to fulfill his prophecy, even as Daniel picked it up in chapter 9, as you said, a prophecy that was given through Jeremiah, was really for the accomplishment, the rebuilding, the release of God's captives, and the rebuilding of his house in Jerusalem. So this is what was at stake here, not just the life of a faithful one.
Exactly, Chris. Without Daniel's prayer, God had no way to bring his people back to Jerusalem to build his temple for his expression.
It's a tremendously expanded view of this simple story, isn't it, Ed?
Yes, it's really marvelous.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
I believe Daniel was burdened concerning God's economy. He would not let anything to frustrate, to stop his prayer, because he knew what he did was to carry out God's economy concerning God's elect. This is serious. No doubt, this was the last step of the victory gained by those four overcomers. Now, you look at the picture. Without these four overcomers, God would have been fully defeated by Satan. And God would have been driven out of the earth, back to heaven. Nothing on this earth is left for him. Up to Babel and Nimrod, God lost everything. At that time, God's interest was absolutely frustrated, but God selected a way to choose one of those idol worshippers at Babel in Kadi. That was Abraham. So from that day, you read the record in Genesis 12, 13, 14. You can see after Abraham arrived at Canaan, right away he built an altar to worship God. That made God happy. That was present to God. God said to Satan, "Little Satan, look, Abraham is worshiping me. I still have at least one worshiper. You wait. His worshiper will be a kingdom. Out of him, thousands of descendants who will be a priesthood nation to worship me and to serve me." Eventually, that issued in the temple.
Ed, this takes us back to the first couple of programs in Daniel to see how that God began his work by calling Abraham out of this idolatrous place, Babylon, which is Ur of Chaldea. Now, out of Abraham come these four overcomers who end up back in Babylon, this time standing for God's interests. This, to me, is a wonderful understanding and appreciation how the Lord works in his economy to accomplish his purpose, isn't it?
Yes, Chris. It's just amazing that Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees, which is actually Babylon. And the Lord called Abraham out of there. Abraham built an altar to worship God. in the midst of that idolatrous situation. This was a real shame to God's enemy. But later in God's sovereignty, God's people who came out of Abraham, they fell back into Babylonian captivity. Well, here are Daniel and his three companions. They become the overcomers back in Babylon again, where Abraham was called out of. And they were the overcomers in that idolatrous land, which actually Satan was the ruling one in Babylon. And so this shows that the Lord shamed Satan to the uttermost in that idolatrous land of Babylon by having these overcomers. You know, one thing in Daniel chapter 6, Chris, this is wonderful. It says that even the opposing ones, when they looked at Daniel, they saw that he had an excellent spirit. Now, this is really something. When people look at us, do they say, oh, this person has a strong physical body? Or do they say, oh, he has an excellent mind? Or do people realize with us we have an excellent spirit? You know, we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. Our spirit is the place where God the Spirit dwells. And we need to be people with an excellent spirit. To be such people, we need to be people who pray. If we are men of prayer, even people will look at us and they will testify, this person has an excellent spirit. Also, Chris, it's amazing. When the angelic messenger came to answer Daniel, he called Daniel a man of preciousness. He even said, Daniel, you are preciousness itself. Now, Chris, this is absolutely marvelous that in the sight of God and of the angels, Daniel was a man of preciousness. We need to pray, Lord, make me a man of preciousness in your sight. Again, how can we be such a man? It's by being a man of prayer who cooperates with God for his interests. And I would just like to mention a few other things, and then we'll come back to this. Chris, if we're going to be the overcomers like Daniel, if we're going to be men of prayer, the first thing we have to be separated from this evil age that follows Satan. If you remember in Daniel 1, verse 8, we covered this on an earlier broadcast. Daniel set his heart not to defile himself with the Babylonian king's food and drink. And we need to purpose in our heart not to defile ourselves with the things of this world. And Satan is the ruler of this world. We need to be separated from this age that follows Satan. The second thing that Daniel did is he was joined to God's desire through God's word. As we're reading the Bible and we see something of God's desire, we should pray God's desire back to God so that he could carry out his desire in the word. Just these few points, if we pray over them, and ask the Lord to make them real to us in our experience, the Lord will make us overcomers, just the way Daniel was.
Ed, we're going to go back to Witness Lee as he's somewhat accounting here the history of the children of Israel, really focused on God's purpose represented in that time by the temple in Jerusalem. That's really what's behind the scenes here. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The temple was an issue of Abraham. The temple built up in Jerusalem for that nation of Israel to worship God. God was happy, but Satan was not happy. Then after about 400 years, Satan sent Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the holy city with the holy temple purposely, and particularly to take away some of the vessels for worshiping God. Then it seemed God was defeated by Satan. Nebuchadnezzar purposely captured some brilliant young boys from the royal family. Well, that was God's sovereignty. Then Nebuchadnezzar gave a decree to select some of the brilliant young men out of the Jewish royal family and abilities. Eventually, these four got selected. God knew that these four will be the overcomers to keep his worship, to keep his service, to keep his interest on this earth. Satan would have said to God, God, look, your interest is finished. God would say to Satan, I have four overcomers worshiping me, serving me in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. How about this? I'm not finished. I'm not through. I'm still on the earth. I have four overcomers. With God, it doesn't mean much in number. 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000. That doesn't mean much. Just a few four overcomers living on this earth. And the words of God in that devilish, demonic palace. This was something. It really means something.
Yeah, this is marvelous. Two things touched me here very much. First, how God in his sovereignty brought his people back to the evil, idolatrous place where Abraham came from originally, and you spoke about this a moment ago, and how he could secure a victory in such a place with only a small number standing for his interests on this earth. I think this deserves a little bit of our time and consideration, Ed, how even a tiny number like four could preserve something for God so precious.
What the Lord is calling for in this age is overcomers. Do we want to be an overcomer in this age? The overcomers are those among the Lord's children who pay the price to pursue the Lord, to gain the Lord, and to be one with the Lord for the carrying out of his move on this earth to build up his body, to prepare his bride, and to bring in his kingdom. And the overcomers, they're a minority. They're a remnant, just like these four overcomers in this devilish palace of Babylon. There needs to be an aspiration in us. Lord, thank you that I'm saved, that you live in me, but I want to be one of your overcomers. I like to be part of that remnant, part of that minority that pays the price to follow you absolutely. And Chris, again, you know what Daniel did is he cooperated with God by prayer. And Chris, I love this. He depended on prayer to do what man could not do and to understand what man could not understand. Chris, we need to depend on prayer. Our prayer is our main service to God. By prayer, we can be one with God to do what man can't do and to understand what man can't understand. And then finally, Chris, Daniel was a self-sacrificing person with a spirit of martyrdom. He was a person who denied himself and cared for God's interests on this earth. We need to be the same. We need to be people who deny ourselves, exercise our spirit to pray to the Lord daily, and give up ourselves, consecrate our whole lives to the Lord for the carrying out of his desire and his interests. Actually, Chris, it's the self-sacrificing persons that are the happiest. When we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, deny ourselves, pick up his interests, we make God happy. You know, may the Lord use this broadcast to produce us as the overcomers for the accomplishment of his purpose.
Ed, I think one of the great benefits of this life study of Daniel is to see not only the kind of person, these characteristics of Daniel and even his companions, but the focus of their faithfulness, the focus of their exercise in all of these areas was absolutely God's purpose and God's interests on the earth. So much of the time we try to think about becoming a more spiritual person, a more person of greater faith, but it's in a vague way, or maybe it's self-centered. But this is quite focused. Message after message, I think we've seen this in this life study, always focused on what's on God's heart.
This is very important what you said. You know, again, Daniel, when he prayed, his windows were open toward Jerusalem. That means the windows of our being need to be opened and directed toward God's purpose, which again is the building up of the body of Christ to prepare Christ's bride and to consummate the new Jerusalem as the wife of Christ. We need to be people who are for God's purpose.
Thank you, Brother Ed. I really appreciated and enjoyed our fellowship very much today.
Well, Chris, I'm looking forward to the next broadcast. Thank you.
And we invite you to join us again as we continue in this life study of the book of Daniel. Let me close by giving you our toll-free number and inviting you to contact us. It's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California 92814. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. For Ed Marks today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee.
thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee spent 7 decades in the 20th century speaking Christ, first in Asia and then North America, eventually all over the world. The culmination of those 70 years of ministry was his Life Study of the Bible, an exhaustive exposition of the entire Scriptures. This unique commentary focuses on how Christ can be life to man in an experiential and practical way. These programs encapsulate Witness Lee's speaking in just 26 minutes. But to get the complete riches, visit lifestudy.com. From there, you can read all of the Life Study messages in their entirety or download any of our more than 1,700 audio programs at no cost. Again, that website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.